The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1959, NASA launched the satellite Explorer 6, which transmitted the first ever view of Earth from orbit back to the ground. It was also loaded with experiments to gauge magnetism and cosmic rays, and after it shut down, it was one of the first existing satellites to be used as a target in a test of an anti-satellite missile system. Since the missile came no closer than 4 miles, Explorer 6 stayed in its orbit until 1961, at which time it burned up in the atmosphere. In 1976, with Viking 1 already tasting the Martian soil below, Viking 2 arrived in orbit around the Red Planet. It would be nearly a month before the Viking 2 lander was released to land on Mars, and scientists used that month to find a suitable landing site. Born on this day in 1926, voice actor Stan Freberg. He voiced numerous characters in countless Warner Brothers and Disney cartoons. He was also sought by a young director named George Lucas, who wanted Freberg to do the voice of a robotic character named C-3PO. Freberg tried several different voices out before suggesting that Lucas was missing a trick by having Anthony Daniels, the man in the C-3PO suit, do the voice himself.
Thank the Maker! This oil bath is going to feel so good! I've got such a bad case of dust contamination I can barely move!
Born on this day in 1574, cartographer Robert Dudley. He published the first maritime atlas of what he thought was the entire known world at the time. Most of the Western Hemisphere was missing because it hadn't been discovered by Europeans yet. But hey, he got the shape of India mostly right. Science fiction writer Jerry Pournelle was born today in 1933. Actor John Glover was born in 1944. You've seen him in Smallville, Brimstone, and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. British comedian Alexei Sale was born in 1952. In addition to starring in The Young Ones and becoming one of the most visible members of the UK's rising alternative comedy movement in the 80s, he also guest starred in a 1985 Doctor Who story, Killing Daleks with Rock and Roll. Wayne Knight, Jurassic Park and Seinfeld fame, was born in 1957. And X-Files star David Duchovny was born in 1960.
Why would somebody want to sabotage a space shuttle?
Well, if you were a terrorist, there probably isn't a more potent symbol of American progress and prosperity. And if you're an opponent of big science, NASA itself represents a vast money trench that exists outside the crucible and debate of the democratic process. And of course, there are those futurists who believe the space shuttle is a rusty old bucket that should be mothballed. A dinosaur spacecraft built in the 70s by scientists setting their sights on space at an ever-declining scale.
We thought we could rest easy with the fall of the Soviet Union.
Not to mention certain fringe elements who accuse our government itself of space sabotage. The failure of the Hubble telescope and the Mars Observer directly connected to a conspiracy to deny us evidence.
Evidence of what?
Alien civilization.
No, of course.
Actor Harold Perrineau, who appeared in the Matrix movies and Lost, was born in 1963. Michael Shannon, who played General Zod in Man of Steel, was born today in 1974. And Sirach Lofton, who played Jake Sisko in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, was born in 1978.
Are you telling me that no one from the Federation read my reports?
If I don't send them, they don't read them.
What about freedom of the press?
Please, tell me you're not that naive.
The only reason I stayed here was to report in the occupation.
You see, there you go again. This is not an occupation. This is a Cardassian station, Jake. And I'm sure you're aware there are no Dominion troops on Bajor. Why should there be? We have a treaty with them. They're our friends.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it.
If you want me to send your articles to the Federation, you're going to have to provide a more balanced perspective.
I won't write Dominion propaganda.
I would never dream of asking you to. All I want is for you to keep an open mind.
All right, my mind is open. Now, can we do the interview?
In 1988, much to the relief of TV viewers everywhere, the Writers Guild of America ended its months-long strike, which had brought Hollywood to its knees. During the five-month strike, TV networks tried numerous times to revive the variety show format, though Fox found a pair of breakout hits called Cops and America's Most Wanted, kickstarting reality TV as a viable format. Even with the end of the strike, some scripted shows didn't make it back on the air until 1989. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Accessing Escape Pod Historic Archive. Breaker located. Apollo 15 Splashdown. August 7th, 1971. Commencing playback.
Apollo 15, this is recovery, over.
Recovery, Apollo 15, everybody's in good shape, and we're looking at about 3,500 feet.
This is recovery, I have a visual, 165 from me, about 8 miles.
Apollo 15, it's at 1,000, appears to be streaming.
This pump to the turret. Okay, now this is sonar. The extra fuel hazard shutter sonar has burned off. Apollo 15, this is recovery, over.
The sonar lost contact to the crossover.
Apollo 15, this is recovery, over.
Recovery 15, your car's clear, everybody's in good shape.
Roger, Apollo 15, if you hear, all units have you inside and we are inbound now.
Roger.
The Lockwood Dog Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.